Here we are in the Congressional Corner with my favorite congressman, my only congressman, my congressman, Richard Neal, Massachusetts' first beautiful district, including Great Barrington, where I live. Richie, thanks so much for doing this. We know how busy you are and all of your responsibilities.
Pleased to be with you. You know that.
I do, and that's one of the things that makes you amazing. Okay, let's start with the Electoral Count Act, which now has Mitch McConnell's support. Okay, I read about it this morning. Tell us what it is and what we're going to get out of this.
Well, I think what's important about it is that the Republican leader in the Senate has now embraced the idea that the count has to be, I think, made clear, not only in legislative language, but in law. So we're attempting to address what might be considered a discrepancy from the 1880s as to how the electoral status of choosing a president plays out. And we want to, I think, base the judgment on the horrendous act of January 6th,
right,
when members of the public and some members of Congress cheered on this rampage through the American Capitol, disputing the election and suggesting that somehow, as President Trump noted at the time, that Mike Pence had the ability to unilaterally change the outcome of a presidential election. So I think that what is being done here is a pretty strong attempt to make sure that this doesn't happen again, and clarifying the law is essentially what Congress has done.
Which now has Mitch McConnell's support. Did that surprise you?
Well, surprised to the extent that it was happening so quickly, but not surprised based upon his private comments about how critical he was as to how the former president handled the January 6th chaos. And what we're responding to is essentially an 1887 law that we think needed clarification. So the former president argued that the then vice president, Mike Pence, could reject electors unilaterally. We said that that was ridiculous and that the chaos that had previously ensued was largely done because of the former president's foolish suggestion that he, in fact, had won the presidential election when there was no evidence to support that position.
So what's the fix?
The fix is clarity, and to suggest that the result has to be confirmed as we undertook it at 3:47, I believe, a.m. in the morning. And I thought it was one of the best moments, certainly, that I've experienced in a career, but I thought it was one of the best moments that our democracy has had a chance to witness when we went back into the House, smoke still clear in our nostrils, the Capitol in great damage, and we marched back into the House of Representatives and confirmed that Joe Biden had won the election based upon the evidence, not based upon the emotions of an individual.
So, Richie Neal, who figured this all out? Who came up with the solution?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do, I want to give credit to the Judiciary Committee in the House. I think that Zoe Lofgren is one that comes to mind. She's a constitutional scholar who comes from California, and I think she had enormous influence on it. And I think that just beneath the surface, Alan, I think it's fair to say that Mitch McConnell privately is highly critical of Donald Trump, reluctant to say so publicly,
sure,
but highly critical. And if you recall that speech that he made on the Senate floor, he blamed the former president and then subsequently refused to vote to impeach him. So I think that it was trying to have it both ways. And now his support for the Electoral Count Act, I think, will go a long way toward making sure that there's no dispute as to who has the power to confirm an election.
Is there any indication that this thing could not get resolved?
I don't see it. And I think now with McConnell's support, that'll bring some Republicans on board. And I think all Democrats will vote for it. So I now see a path to passage.
Great. Okay. So let's move on from there. And let's talk about the November midterm outlook. You know, it's traditional that the party who's president is in power loses votes. But then there's been some speculation that that might not be so this time. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the technical response is pretty interesting, and that is that the generic polling has Democrats up by an average of 1.8%. That's a considerable distance from where we were months ago. But at the same time, the generic poll is the general question as to do you intend to vote for a Democrat or Republican for Congress. That does not take into consideration the individual battleground where two individuals are pitted against each other. So I think the generic is healthy. I also think that the candidates that we've had on the Democratic side across the country, even those in what we call the battleground races, overwhelmingly, these Democrats are going to hold on now. And I think part of it was the January 6th, part of it was the abortion decision of the Supreme Court, and part of it is I think that there's a sense and an air that the country is pleading for some stability. So Democratic candidates are well-funded, they're well-organized, and I think that now it's down to the retirements that took place in Congress. 18 Republicans retired, 28 Democrats retired, and as I've indicated, that now in Michigan, we look likely to pick up a seat. We are likely to hold the three seats that we have in Nevada, as an example. We have a very good candidate in Kansas who now is in a 50-50 race. And as you look across the country, it looks as though this is going to go down to the wire. There is not a wave election out there any longer that Republicans portrayed just a few months ago. It is now, I think, down to probably 30 seats that are in contest.
Are you worried at all, Richie Neal?
I think you have to be. I mean, I think that there's that old statement that used to come from the, I'm not sure if it was Speaker O'Neill or somebody who once said you have to be paranoid in these elections because you have to take them seriously. And so I think in that sense, you have to be concerned. But I've felt right along, even when people were dismissive of our prospects for holding the House months ago, I remember saying that they were likely on their side, on the Republican side, to nominate candidates that were far outside the mainstream. And that has happened right in our backyard in New Hampshire. The candidates that they've nominated for the House on the Republican side and the Senate candidate are well outside the mainstream of American politics. And Republicans are now shaking their heads as to how this happened. But it's happened across the country. So, Alan, the distinction here to recall is that sometimes the person that can win a primary can't win a general election.
And where does Donald Trump play into all of this?
I think that he has fanned the flames because it's the endorsed candidates that he's had across the country that are now a drag on the midterm elections for Republicans. And I think that you heard McConnell say just a few weeks ago, it's candidate quality that is at issue here. And I think that he was using a metaphor there for these picks on our side, meaning the Republican side, were not particularly good. They might be good in a primary cycle, but they're not good in a general election cycle.
Hmm. Let me ask you about this. So we only have a couple of minutes in this session, but what are your thoughts on the White House summit on nutrition and how to reach the administration's goals? Do you think they're going about it correctly?
Yeah. I think it's terrific. I mean, I want to say that there was also two terrific pieces, and I listened to a podcast last night that appeared in the New York Times about childhood poverty in America and the staggering advances that we've made over the course of the last at least 20 to 25 years, where we've cut childhood poverty significantly. And the pieces zeroed in on the idea that there are still about 8 to 10% of the American children that are poor. And that leans into the argument about childhood nutrition. So the expansion of many of these initiatives has been extraordinarily helpful in reducing childhood poverty. But I know Jim McGovern has indicated that up to 40 million Americans are worried about where the next meal is going to come from. And Jim's been a leader on this issue. And I think that, look, in a country that was blessed with such bounty, people ought to be able to be assured of shelter and food. I mean, our farmers in America, what they produce every day is so far outpaces the rest of the world in terms of not only quality, but quantity. And we ought to be able to make sure that every segment of the American population has the opportunity to enjoy those benefits.
Richie Neal, always a pleasure to have you with us. You're my congressman in my congressional district, but you also have a huge role in the House of Representatives. And when you come on, we are very grateful because we know how busy you are. Thanks again.
Well, I enjoy it very, very much.